Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The World's Worst Bet, How the Globalization Gamble Went Wrong and What Would Make It Right is a 245 nonfiction work by David J. Lynch, global economics correspondent for The Washington Post. The book examines the arc of modern globalization from the optimism of the 1990s to the present era of trade conflict, economic nationalism, and political anger. Lynch treats globalization not as a simple policy mistake or automatic success, but as a high-stakes wager made by American leaders who expected open markets to deliver cheaper goods, wider prosperity, and geopolitical moderation. His central concern is why those gains were accompanied by factory closures, weakened communities, brittle supply chains, and a more formidable China, combining economic history, political reporting, and accounts of workers and policymakers. The book aims to explain how a system designed to expand prosperity lost public legitimacy, and what changes might preserve useful global integration while reducing its social costs. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, globalization as a policy wager rather than an inevitable historical force. Lynch frames the globalization era as a deliberate American gamble, not as an impersonal process that simply happened. In the 1990s, many officials believed that lower trade barriers, freer capital movement, and wider market access would increase efficiency, strengthen growth, and spread liberal political norms. That belief shaped support for agreements such as NAFTA and for bringing China more fully into the global trading system. The wager contained a major assumption: the aggregate gains from trade would be large enough to compensate those who lost jobs, status, or community stability. Lynch emphasizes that this assumption was politically fragile because the compensation was neither automatic nor consistently delivered. Economists could point to cheaper consumer goods and broader national wealth, but many workers experienced globalization through plant closures, wage pressure, and a sense that decision-makers had treated their livelihoods as adjustment costs. By presenting globalization as a gamble, the book highlights responsibility. Policy choices distributed benefits and losses unevenly, and leaders underestimated how economic disruption could become a source of lasting political resentment. Secondly, the worker protection gap that turned trade gains into political backlash. A central theme is the mismatch between the scale of economic disruption and the weakness of the policies meant to help displaced workers. Trade liberalization was often defended with promises that retraining, education, mobility support, and stronger adjustment assistance would help workers move into new opportunities. Lynch argues that those promises were not fulfilled at the level required by the shock. Manufacturing communities affected by import competition often faced not only job loss, but also declining local tax bases, reduced civic confidence, and fewer replacement jobs with comparable wages. This matters because the political reaction was not only about income, it was also about dignity, local identity, and trust in institutions. The book shows that social insurance and labor market policy were treated as secondary to the pursuit of global integration, even though they were essential to sustaining consent for that integration. The result was a credibility failure. When officials continued to praise globalization while affected communities saw limited help, opposition to trade became a broader rejection of elites, parties, and expert economic reasoning. Thirdly, fragile supply chains revealed the hidden cost of efficiency first globalization. Lynch connects the globalization debate to the structure of modern supply chains, which were designed around low cost, speed, and specialization across borders. For many firms, this model lowered production costs and expanded consumer choice. Yet it also created dependencies that became more visible during crises, including geopolitical tensions and pandemic-era disruptions. The book treats vulnerable supply chains as evidence that globalization was evaluated too narrowly. Efficiency was measured in prices and profits, while resilience was often ignored until shortages or strategic vulnerabilities appeared. This is especially important for sectors tied to national security, health, advanced manufacturing, and critical inputs. Lynch does not reduce the issue to a simple call for total reshoring. Instead, the analysis suggests that countries must distinguish between ordinary commercial interdependence and dangerous over-reliance. The practical implication is that trade policy can no longer be separated from industrial policy, strategic planning, and risk management. Global integration may still provide benefits, but the earlier assumption that firms could optimize supply chains without broader public consequences has become much harder to defend. Fourthly, China transformed from expected liberalizing partner into strategic rival. The book gives particular weight to China because its integration into the world economy was one of the defining events of the globalization era. American leaders expected that trade and investment would encourage China to become more market-oriented and perhaps more politically open. At the same time, access to Chinese labor and manufacturing capacity became highly attractive to multinational firms. Lynch examines how this dual expectation produced consequences that were not fully anticipated. China became central to global production and lifted many people out of poverty. But it also emerged as a powerful competitor with an economic model that did not converge with Western liberal expectations. For American workers, the China shock intensified pressure on manufacturing employment. For policymakers, dependence on Chinese supply chains complicated national security and economic planning. Lynch presents this as one of the clearest examples of globalization producing both real gains and severe strategic costs. The issue is not that engagement had no benefits, but that policy elites underestimated the speed, scale, and political consequences of China's rise within the global trading system. Lastly, a reform agenda that rejects both old free trade optimism and simple protectionism. Lynch positions the book against two unsatisfying responses to the failure of hyper-globalization. One is nostalgia for the 1990s view that expanding trade would reliably produce shared prosperity and political moderation. The other is a broad turn toward economic nationalism that treats openness itself as the enemy. His argument is more conditional global integration can remain valuable, but only if governments rebuild the domestic foundations that make openness politically and socially sustainable. That includes stronger social safety nets, more serious support for displaced workers, attention to corporate tax avoidance, and policies that recognize the bargaining imbalance between mobile capital and less mobile labor. The book also implies that trade policy should be judged by distributional outcomes, resilience, and geopolitical risk, not only by aggregate growth. Some reviewers have noted that the policy prescriptions are less developed than the historical diagnosis, but the direction is clear. Lynch calls for a reckoning with the costs of borderless capital and neglected communities, while warning that indiscriminate protectionism could sacrifice prosperity without solving the underlying institutional failures. In conclusion, The World's Worst Bet is best suited for readers who want a clear, reported account of how trade policy, domestic politics, and geopolitics became intertwined after the Cold War. It will be especially useful for students of political economy, policymakers, business readers concerned with supply chains, and general readers trying to understand why globalization became such a divisive subject in American politics. Its practical benefit lies in showing that trade debates cannot be reduced to tariffs versus free markets. Lynch encourages readers to examine who gains, who loses, how institutions respond, and whether the public has reason to trust promises of adjustment. Intellectually, the book stands out because it links the rise of global integration to both household-level disruption and great power rivalry, especially the changing relationship between the United States and China. Compared with more technical economics books, it is more narrative and accessible. Compared with polemics against globalization, it is more balanced about the benefits that integration produced. Its strongest contribution is the combination of journalistic reporting and policy analysis, showing that the central failure was not openness alone, but openness pursued without sufficient worker protection, resilience planning, or political humility. If you would like to support David J. Lynch, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.